Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Hey everyone, welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. My guest this week is Liz Houston, a licensed veterinary technician and many other credentials that you have to look her up on and see because it's incredible. Thank you so much for joining us, Liz.
Thanks for having me, Adam. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, we love having you on. We love having you with us at the as a DVM 360 editorial board member. And, you know, we're talking about organized medicine and to our listeners, not many will actually know what that is. So why don't you just at least, I guess, talk to us a little bit about what is organized medicine? What is it?
Yeah, that is such a great point. I think, you know, across the board on the whole veterinary healthcare team, I think veterinarians, staff, no one really knows what it is that what is organized veterinary medicine? What does that even mean? And what, you know, I think what a lot of people think of, and I think that, you know, vets are kind of dimly aware of the AVMA, right? So the American Veterinary Medical Association. And that's one branch that's kind of the main representative organization for veterinarians in the United States. There are groups like AHA, which do certifications, right? And kind of extra certifications that aren't required, right? Voluntary stuff. They're not really a representative organization in the same way that AVMA is, right? AVMA has like a political action committee and they're advocating on the part of veterinarians in legislatures at the national level, right? That's what that group does. On the technician side, on the support side, we have the National Association of Veterinary Technicians in America, which is NAVTA. It is small, so it's not truly representative. I think the AVMA has lost some members over time. I think there's a lot of, between Gen Xers, Gen Xers, Millennials, and Gen Zers, there's a general kind of distaste, I think, for organized things, representative associations. And I think that is too bad. I know the reason behind it is that these organizations haven't really been seen to represent us. And I have to say that's kind of true, right? When you look at the AVMA, you look at the delegates and the board of the AVMA, it's a lot of old white men. And when you go to your practice and you look at the veterinarians in your practice, that's not who the veterinarians are that are out there in practice right now. The truth is, it takes a long time for big organizations like this to change, right? And to really start reflecting their members more holistically. I think also it's hard for people to figure out how to get involved. So you might look at it and say, they don't represent me. They don't look like me. But then your next thought isn't, how do I get involved in this so that I can change it? There are lots of reasons for that. Veterinarians are overloaded. Veterinary staff are overloaded, right? We don't have a lot of extra energy. We don't have a lot of time to think about doing these volunteer things. And some of us, right, we don't do it until we're later in our career, which is why you see a lot of old white people getting involved in these organizations, because they've been veterinarians for 50 years. And now is the time that they're available to participate in at this higher level of organized medicine. So those are the two big ones, AVMA on the vet side, NAVTA on the technician side. And then each state has their own organization. So there are state veterinary medical associations that advocate for, usually they represent veterinarians, advocate for them in the state legislature and do things for the veterinarians in their state. Lots of CE offerings. They have other benefits, health care benefits, liability insurance, all of that kind of stuff. Many states, I wish it were all states, but it's not, but many states also have technician associations. So that's for support staff. Usually it's for technicians and assistants, and they can join these technician associations. And what those groups do is advocate for technicians at the state level. And you know, that's what NAVTA does at the national level, right? So advocate for veterinary support staff and provide CE and provide benefits for their members that their members need as well on the support staff side. So that's kind of the overall structure of what organized veterinary medicine looks like.
So I'm on the board for the NJVMA from New Jersey. So shout out to the NJVMA. Love my
shout
board members.
Shout out to the NJVTA. They're a very strong tech association. So yeah.
Yes, they are. Erica Irvin is she still the president? I think she is, or she was.
Right,
I know
she I'd
was.
Have to look
shout
it
out
up.
To them. They work very hard, and that they do work synergistically with the NJVMA, which I love.
Yes.
And the reason why I say that is because, you know, a few years ago, I really was not actively involved with organized medicine until I am now. And it opened my eyes up to so many things. So to the veterinary technician out there, to the veterinarian that's out there that's looking for a different change or added change to their career portfolio, this is such a great way to really be proactive and make change happen.
It really is. I mean, in reality, it is... And in some cases, this is really frustrating, but it really is the only way to create systemic change in the profession is to work through these organized associations. And as you know, from being on the board, you know, it's eye-opening to participate in in a state board meeting, right? To go to your state's veterinary medical board or board of governors or whatever it is. I tell people it's like the most interesting, boring thing you can do with your day. because it's interesting because of the issues that they're dealing with that you don't even think about, right? I don't know if you guys have a lot of rodeos in New Jersey, but in California, we have lots of rodeos. And there's a lot of discussion about how the animals in rodeos are treated and what is the veterinary care that's on the ground and who can be there and what can the people do when they're there. And that's like something that most of us working in small animal medicine would never think about, right? Horse racing, I'm sure in New Jersey, that's probably
a big thing for
you guys. And so, you know, dealing with that and you never think about, that's a veterinary issue. We should know about that. Food safety, that's a huge area. And so there are all these things that they're dealing with. And so, I mean, it's frustrating for the technician or for the vet who's on the ground working their small animal practice and thinking, why doesn't my association do something about this? And then you realize when you get there, like, wow, they have a lot of things that they have to deal with. If you really have this thing that is really important to you, that you really want change or you really want to have a discussion about, you have to get involved with the association in order to bring that issue to light. Otherwise, it'll just get lost in the other work that they're doing.
Thank you for saying that. That's exactly right. Like, you have to be a member. You have to be involved within your organization because you as a member are going to be the ones to help make change happen. And so if you're not a member, we don't know that your voices are going to be heard.
Right. And, you know, yelling into the void of social media only does so much good. It might make you feel better, right? You might get some friends to be like, yeah, you're right. But if you're not participating at that level of organized medicine, the issues that you care about just won't, they just don't know about them. It's exactly what you said, Adam. It's not that they don't care. They just don't know. And if you're not a member, you know, I hate to say it, but these organizations are big. They're dealing with a lot of stuff, a lot of different issues. If you're not a member, they don't have a lot of impetus to kind of pay attention to what's going on with you. And if you're a member, at least you can say, like, look, I paid my dues so that I could have a say, and here's my say, and this issue is really important to me, right? It's the old, if you don't vote, you can't complain mantra, right?
Yeah.
Which I firmly believe in, and we're entering election season, so please vote. I don't even care who you're voting for, just get out and vote. I do care, but we won't get political here. Just get out and vote. Yeah, it's really important. And that's the same idea. Be involved in these organizations that are really, they are affecting you on your everyday practice.
Yes. I mean, various things that you wouldn't think are out there, such as, you know, legislation acts and bills and, you know, shouldering with members of senators and being a delegate. There's so many different things that you can do. Yeah. What I love that I'm seeing now more of, Liz, is that the vet students are really getting involved and the technician students are getting heavily involved in organized medicine, which is great. Like the SAVMA, they're really, you know, educating them to let them know of all the opportunities that are out there.
Yes, that is so true. I think, you know, I kind of dissed on Gen Xers and millennials and Gen Zers a little bit in my opening remarks, but I will say that millennials and Gen Zers are so passionate and motivated, and they really do believe in the power of change. Us Gen Xers, I'm a Gen Xer, we're pretty jaded and a little cynical, but the generations coming up behind us are so passionate and really believe in their power to change things. And I see this, I see younger people now getting involved in veterinary, in organized veterinary medicine earlier. And it is so awesome because they are changing the face of veterinary medicine. And that, and I love seeing that involvement. I love seeing them participate in that way.
Yeah, I really do too. And it's nice. Like, for instance, for the NJVMA, we have like a mentorship program that we've implemented. And so, you know, the board members and the NJVMA members get to shoulder with a vet student. And I have one individual, she's fantastic. And I follow her through and check in, and it doesn't have to be much out of your way. But this is just something of like, of how our profession advances and moves forward. And especially now, I mean, some of these vet students and technician students, I mean, they're just doing virtual learning. So they need us more than ever.
Yeah.
So I mean, what a great way of giving back, and, you know, is volunteering your services for, whether it be organized medicine or within the program of mentorship.
Mentoring is so important in our profession. And I think a lot of students now, when they're coming out of vet school, I know in the practices that I do relief for, when these new vets come in, or if they're interviewing as a student, one of their main questions and concerns is, how will I be mentored in practice? Who will I have someone that I can go to when I have questions or concerns? And the students are really being primed for that, which I think is so important. And finding that practice that where there's someone there to teach you and to really guide you, because those first few years of practice can be rough. And it's true for technicians too, right? Especially those technicians who didn't work in veterinary medicine before they came out, right? Who went maybe straight from high school to a tech program, and they're coming out and they haven't really worked in the veterinary industry. That mentor focus hasn't filtered down to the support staff side yet, but I think it will as more of these students start to come into their own, either in practice ownership or practice leadership. Right. And I think that's so important. I love that the NJVMA does that. It's such a great program to bring up not only these, you know, baby vets, right, but also to really create that pipeline for leadership in the association, which is super important.
Super important. I mean, you nailed it too. I mean, we have a lot of the veterinarians that are, you know, Gen Zs and millennials. And so, you know, there's that mentality that sometimes that can happen where it's like, organized medicine, that's for older people. That's not for me, right? Because I remember that when I was in vet school, I was like, oh, that seems like
Why would I do that? Right. Because you looked at it and you said, it looks like a bunch of old dudes. And
yes,
right. That doesn't look like me. Why would I think I could be a part of that? When in reality, right. Not only do they need younger people just to preserve the organization, right? But they need the voices. They need to hear from, they need to hear from support staff. They need to hear from younger people coming in, the people just out of school, the people who've been in practice 5-10 years, right? That's the people that they really need to hear from, because those are the people who know what's going on in the industry, right? And I think that's so important. And that, you know, on that point, I'll put my push out here for the AVMA to open up a technician membership, because they don't have one and they really need to have one. Technicians need to be a part of the conversation at the AVMA. And so they need to open up a class of membership for technicians.
No, well said. Absolutely. And to those that are listening and maybe are trying to find out more information, you can contact your state VMA. I know that if you're interested, you
could. I think that's the best place to start, is start local. You may even have a local VMA or Vet Tech Association, because that is, some states, like in California, we're so big. There's a Southern California Vet Med Association. Right. There's a Central California Vet Med Association. So you may find a local one, and that might be a easier way to get your feet wet before you dive into national leadership or even statewide leadership. But I mean, every single state VMA has a website. Every single state Vet Tech Association has a website, and they have information emails on there. And I have found them to be very responsive. People are, I mean, they're really, they want you to be involved. So please reach out to them and find out how you can. Not, you don't have to be on the board. You could be on a committee. Right. you could, if there's a pet project you have, you know, you could start a committee where like, I really want to talk about X. And, you know, I'm sure the board would be like, here you go. Here's your committee. Yeah. Go for it.
Right. There's your committee. There's your meeting. You're the president, vice president, treasurer right there.
Exactly. I mean, really, they're desperate for volunteers. So
they are. And for foundations too, right? You have state foundations, local foundations associated with your BMAs.
Yes. So, yes. That's a huge, I mean, that's a whole other side. I mean, and then if you want to get deeper into it, right? If you're a diplomat, so if you're a specialty veterinarian, you have a college that you can be involved in. If you're a specialty technician, you have an academy that has leadership that you can be involved in, committees. I mean, that I do that as well, you know, and so then, but it's, if you want to shape the area of your practice that you're most passionate about, that's the way to do it. You have to get involved.
Yes. I mean, this is why Liz and I had to have this podcast to our listeners, because we really wanted to bring organized medicine front and center. And the way we do that is by educating to our listeners and to, you know, empowering individuals, especially younger ones, veterinary technicians and doctors, to get involved. And these are, it's very easy. It's not time consuming. And it's impactful. It's super impactful. So we need you.
Yeah, it's tremendous how much impact you can have, and how big your voice can be, and really it gives you a platform to amplify other people's voices too, which is fantastic. So I wouldn't don't think just because you're a new grad DVM or a new grad RVT, CVT, LVT, don't think you don't have a place. You absolutely do. So I want to encourage the new grads to really, I know you're exhausted. Work is hard, and especially in COVID, work is doubly hard and doubly exhausting. But it really is a fantastic way for you to create change in the profession, to have an impact in the profession, to have your voice heard. And, you know, don't worry if you don't check every box on the requirement list or the mental requirement list that you think you need to be involved. Just put your name out there. And the more you do that, the more opportunities are going to come your way too.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing this. Liz Houston, where can we find more information about you?
So I'm very active on social media, mostly on Facebook. I admin several groups on Facebook, and I have a page for my kind of professional side, which is Vet Tech Expert, without the leading E before the X. So VETTECHXPERT. You can find me on Facebook there. You can also find me on my personal page there. And then I admin a bunch of different groups on Facebook. And so I'm happy to, you know, if you search me, you'll find a ton of stuff. And then I have an Instagram, and you know, that's just what everybody's Instagram is. So if you, you can,
Instagram was invented because dogs and cats came.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. Definitely true. I don't have TikTok because, again, I'm a Gen Xer, so I'm like an old lady, so I don't have TikTok. And I don't even know what I would put on there if I did, but I do love it, but I don't have one.
this is perfect. Liz Houston, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Adam. It's great talking to you.
Always a pleasure. And thank you to our listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. And always take care of yourself out there. Stay safe and stay possum. Take care.
Stay possum.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.